The scripture reading today is Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried with them every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to effective working, by which every part does its share, cause growing of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
This morning I'm going to be looking at the subject of effective Bible classes, and I want to kind of preface this by noting that I'm going to have a shortened lesson this morning, and I'm doing so to accommodate the fact that Dennis is going to be, after our services, addressing the things pertaining to the Bible classes, what's going on with our Bible classes, and the coordination of that, and the teachers, so it's about, for the teachers, but also for the parents, and anybody else that's interested, the congregation, if you wish to stay and hear the things being said, you're certainly welcome to do that, and if there's questions or anything that needs to be brought up, that's an excellent opportunity to do that as well. So I'm kind of shortening it for that reason. Also, I want to, during our time of the announcements, there's a few other things that we want to bring to your attention. So there's going to be a little bit of an expanded announcement period of time. So for those two reasons, I'm shortening my lesson. But I want us to concentrate on this idea of the Bible classes and the subject of effective Bible classes. What makes a Bible classes and the activities we engage in effective? Well, first of all, we have to think about the purpose. The purpose of Bible classes is to teach God's Word. By its very definition, to think about Bible and classes, what's the emphasis? It's on the Bible. The teaching of God's Word, we want to emphasize that. People to understand, to be instructed as it relates to God's Word. It's a work of the Lord's church. Now, it's not my intention to go into a study to authorize Bible classes. I've done that in the past. It's certainly something that we need to do. Everything we do needs to be authorized from God's Word. And so I'll touch upon this only from the perspective of sort of noting the fact that we are to, as a means of teaching God's Word, the Bible classes accomplish that. And we see that the work of the Lord's church is to be done, and that involves the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to communicate that, to carry it to a lost and dying world, to edify and build up the Lord's church. So we had in our scripture reading, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, that idea of edifying, ministering. You see these various ones that were put into the church in order to accomplish this. Some of those no longer exist, such as the apostles and prophets. Others, though, continue on, talking about pastors or the elders, the evangelists, and teachers. The idea of teaching, instructing as it relates to God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 8, we have there how Paul commends the Thessalonian brethren and that they sounded forth the word of truth throughout that whole region. They were actively going about communicating, instructing, teaching the word of God. We see in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 5, as you have that setting in the assembly, what's taking place there is teaching God's word. That was the purpose behind it. Now, Paul had to address some of the difficulties that were occurring there in Corinth, including the fact that there was chaos and anarchy going on within the church during the time of the assembly when they should have been worshiping. They weren't being benefited as a result of the fact that they weren't doing it in an orderly fashion. They were not doing it in a way that was helpful and profitable for people to learn and know that truth. So he set forth the right manner and way in which that was to be accomplished. And as he says this forth, it's to teach, to edify, to instruct. So we find that the work of the church includes the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that twofold part of it having to do with instructing the lost and edifying or building up the saved. The same word does both. The teaching of God's word tells people what they need to do to come to a right relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, and then that teaching and instruction that's given in God's Word builds us up so that we can grow in that knowledge, so that we can be strengthened and understanding of these truths in our lives. Now, Bible classes are a method of teaching to edify and to evangelize. It's just a method that's used. It's one that we've seen to be beneficial. It's not the assembly. We are now in the assembly, the worship assembly of 1 Corinthians 14. But as that work that we've already noted, having to do with instructing and setting forth and communicating God's Word, here is a method to accomplish that. So you have Bible classes. They're age appropriate for the different levels to instruct those so they can understand, to give them very early in life this instruction to help them comprehend the importance of God's Word in their lives. And right on up through the time period when we start having the obedience to the gospel and us as Christians being instructed and being this teaching and that is given to us so that we can know what we need to do in order to serve the Lord faithfully, pleasingly. And so I would argue the correctness of the Bible classes, that it is truly authorized, because that is a part of the work of the church, is to teach. This is a method or means to accomplish that. One might also parallel the idea that preaching and teaching on the radio, as the church uses its treasury and selects the individuals who would teach God's Word, that it's a work of the church to communicate through that means and that activity. And so there's just various methods that can be used that are authorized because we have the command to instruct, to teach God's Word to those outside of the body of Christ and to build up those within the body of Christ. So the purpose. The purpose is teach God's Word. Let me just make this observation. What is going to tell people what they need to be saved? Well, it's God's Word. What's going to tell people what they need to do in order to please the Lord after they've been immersed and raised to walk in that newness of life? It's the Word. There's not anything else. There's no other information, nothing else that's going to give us the instructions we need. There's no other means to accomplish that ultimate goal. It's God's Word. And that's why the emphasis is there, because that's where the Scriptures themselves place the importance in what's noted. So, successful program. Let's take a moment to talk about a successful program. There's some aspects necessary and required to have something that's going to be successful. We've already talked about God's Word being the purpose to teach it. Then we looked at some other things that help us with that idea. Proper structure and organization. Now, when you think about this, and last week when I was discussing the idea of the worship service, the assembly, when we started considering various matters associated with that we observed that to do things decent and orderly required to be structured, and that you had to have people leading in that in order to be able to achieve that goal, and that is required and commanded. See, we see certain things that are inferred in order to do those things. Well, here, that same idea. If it's going to be successful, we're going to have structure. There's going to have to be set up some things to have to do with the teachers, some arrangement so the teachers know what they're going to be teaching, when this is going to be transpiring, at what quarters, as we've divided it up, various things associated with that, the material that's going to be taught also has to be assigned, and it needs to be done in advance. It needs to be done in a way that's going to effectively accomplish the intended purpose. Teachers need to have that material. They need to know that they're going to be teaching. They need to be preparing themselves for that. And so we have set up this arrangement. So we have a sheet that sets forth the teachers when they're going to teach. A coordinated effort on that. We have material that's determined so that it's set up in a way that is going to be structured, that provides us with an overview, that gives us a sense of the Bible. You know, Dennis and I, back at one time when discussing some things about even the worship service and matters associated with that, and perhaps many of you can recall similarly types of things happening. There were instances where you come to the services, the worship services, and as everybody gathered up, somebody said, well, okay, you take the song leading, okay, you take the prayer, somebody else, the Lord's Supper, and so it was just done somewhat haphazardly, without thoughtful consideration associated with it. And as a result, things were done, the worship was accomplished, but was it that effective? If people didn't know in advance, didn't have a chance to prepare, that's why we duty rosters are set up. The idea, in order to be able for people to know what's going to be done, what their responsibilities will be, the ones leading in various capacities can then prepare themselves for that. And we understand that on occasions, something happens at the last minute, a situation might arise, somebody is sick, some problem occurs, and then you have to fill in. But the more you have the structure and organization and arrangement, the less chaotic it is. It's already designed the way, and so people can be inserted more easily and know their responsibilities and obligations. So we recognize that in order to be effective for our worship, and we noted those things that related to last Sunday morning and talking about those matters, that this is something that is desirable to give us that appreciation for being able to do the things in a way that really does enhance and accomplish the ultimate goal. It's no different with our Bible classes. If we have, and this is again some things that through the years and times past at various places and circumstances, that the week before the time for the quarter to start running around to find the teachers. Oh, we need somebody to teach. And let's find something for them to teach. And so you start scrambling. No thoughtful consideration to an organizationally set forth a program, something that gives a sense of the entirety of the Bible. And so you sometimes have materials being taught in fairly close proximity to each other, simply because we've got to grab something, we've got to do something, it has to be done. We've got the classes, and we don't have people, and everything then is set up in a way that does not enhance the ultimate purpose. So structure, organization, I think it's axiomatic, self-evident that that's needful, isn't it? If we want to do things rightly and appropriately, the objective is not to say we have Bible classes so that nobody will accuse us of being anti-Bible class. The objective is to have Bible classes to accomplish the intended purpose, which is to teach God's Word in an effective fashion. And therefore, we need that structure, that organization. Let me notice the next thing. Congregational participation. The members of the body of Christ, we are part of that work of that church. We are involved in here at Westside, those that are members here. So we're going to have participation. What's the nature of that participation? Some of it, I think, is self-evident. It's something that is easily observable. We need teachers. There are people that are going to teach the various age groups, the levels. If we're going to have Bible classes, you're going to have people in there that are going to be presenting God's Word. The material being provided in some capacity, some things. Sometimes teachers supplement that, have some things that they add to it in order to teach, but it follows the arrangement that's set forth, a curriculum that we have in order to get through the Bible, again, and able to see the entire picture, even as we deal with specific instances and situations in Scripture from the Old and New Testaments. So 2 Timothy 2:2, and I'm just noting teachers, not necessarily from the Bible standpoint, but teaching period, and the idea of teaching, where Paul tells Timothy, Paul has taught Timothy, to himself teach others who likewise will be able to teach. You see, a fundamental and inescapable responsibility that all Christians have is to teach. We're going to teach in some capacity, in some way. Maybe not publicly. There's some limitations placed on that. So the preacher, the evangelist, there's some responsibilities that he has that the Scriptures describe. But then you look at teaching and various ways to teach. Among the things, then, we find that teaching involves women as well. The teaching in these private settings and circumstances or situations in which it's appropriate for them to teach. So you find over in Titus 2, verse 3 and 4, the older women are to teach the younger women. Here's one aspect of this arrangement. Not exclusive to it, but one thing that's denoted about teaching. You see instances of people taking others aside and teaching them more fully the Word of God. You see occasions where private teaching, the more instances of teaching of God's Word. We all are to be telling those around us about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He means to us in our lives and what you can do in order to become a child of God to those that are outside the body of Christ. We all have an obligation to be teachers of that Word to the ability of our knowledge, capabilities that we have, that all these things, there are some limitations, again, that are placed upon it that God's Word sets forth. But every single solitary Christian can say things to others about being a Christian themselves and what they need to do. And if the teaching and the lessons or going and studying with somebody becomes something that's more in-depth and you need help in that, then there are those that can help accomplish that. We can all invite people to come to services. We can all be telling them about our own Christianity. We can all point to God's Word as it relates to matters pertaining to what we need to be doing in life. Teachers and Bible classes. You cannot have the Bible classes without the teachers. And we need the teachers then, people that devote themselves and have a knowledge and understanding to be able to take this information and, again, age appropriate. There are those that are more capable of teaching the younger levels, the different age levels and circumstances like that we find within this structure that we've done in order to help the ones to comprehend these truths. And as they go to the next level, they learn these things in a little more in-depthness. What was more concrete concepts as we go along become matters that then we delve into and look at as it relates to some more substantive issues. But as you develop, as you grow, but that very foundation and appreciation for the Word of God is fundamental, paramount. We need students. I get up here. If you weren't here, if not a single solitary person was here, would I be standing up here talking? Not likely. Wouldn't do a whole lot of good. Just to give you an aside on something. When I first started preaching, the congregation where I was at, there was a conversation about Wednesday nights and whether or not Wednesday nights were something people ought to avail themselves to, or more than avail themselves to, that they should, as Christians, as members of that congregation, be coming and participating. And so one man, I were having this discussion, and he said, well, you know, that's optional. You know, people don't have to come. It's an optional thing. It's something we provide. But if people choose not to come, then they don't have to feel any obligation. And I said, so I don't need to come? And he said, no, you're paid to come. And I said, if I come and I'm the only one here, how long do I have to wait before I leave? Isn't that kind of an absurd thing to suggest that we do things, set them forth? We set it up for the purpose of building up, being edified, to be strengthened, and then we don't avail ourselves to it? Isn't it kind of nonsensical to suggest that we understand the importance of God's Word and communicating and helping one another to be able to develop ourselves as we ought, and we don't come because we choose not to come or feel that we don't need to be present? You know, if studying God's Word is good, and I don't think anybody's going to argue that, then when we make times in order to do that as a congregation and having set these things forth, should we not avail ourselves in order to know His will and share our knowledge with others? Prepared. Be present and be prepared. So we have Bible classes on two occasions, typically speaking. We also have some other instances throughout the year, such as the Vacation Bible School, but our regular arrangement is Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We go into more in-depthness in some instances, things that enable us to be able to, again, look at matters, be able to discuss it and examine it. So being present helps us. It helps those around about us. Being prepared means that we as students, not just the teachers being prepared, but we as students, where there's material or information that we're supposed to be looking at, that we come in having looked at it, having examined it, had answered the questions where the questions are, having considered these matters, so that when we come in, we're actually able to comprehend more fully. And it's not just the teacher standing up there telling us things that we should already be aware of. Many times, the class, period of time, there's a lot of material in there. Things that people need to have read in advance, and scriptures people need to have looked at, because might spend the entirety of the time just reading the verses if it's quite a bit of material associated with that, instead of discussing what the material is all about. It's good to read the Word of God, and I'm not in any way negating that, but we recognize the limitations there, and now we're discussing this material. So if we come unprepared, what does that say about our interest, our involvement, and our participation? Should we not take the materials? You know, we spend money, and I'm going to be this next week going and having printed up class materials for the next quarter for the auditorium. We purchase materials for the classes. In some instances, there's some things that just left in the classrooms and are dealt with there because of the age level and information such as that. But that material is there for them to study. In the auditorium, we have the material, and you take the material with you. And why do we do that? So you can prepare yourself to come in and have some understanding of what's going to be discussed. come unprepared and we just kind of sit around, not having an understanding and comprehension, how are we then participating with those things? Proper structure and organization, congregational participation. And let me kind of reinforce that, members. Now, I talked about two categories. Now, it's kind of generalization here about members. What are we doing as it relates to these types of activities? Well, maybe if the teaching is not something that for various sunny reasons we can do or have done in the past, we can't do now for age, infirmity, perhaps. There may be instances of knowledge or understanding and some areas that are a little bit more challenging, especially if you look at various groups of young people, perhaps, that having to deal with that type of circumstance is not something that somebody is as equipped to do as somebody else. Of course, we can all be students and need to be that. We need to be involved to that degree. But what about the encouraging of people and stating things and supporting what we're doing, supporting it in all the different capacities, all the different ways, saying things about how much these are helpful to us and that we're glad to have it and that the people doing these things, how much we appreciate it. And I want to tell you, we appreciate those who do the teaching. We appreciate those who are involved in making arrangements, getting things set up. The last minute type of stuff, we try to avoid that so that we can have people prepared. We understand and recognize how that's helpful, but not just that, we appreciate the people that are interested enough to do, and we as a congregation need to be supportive, thankful, and encouraging. And I dare say sometimes the sad truth is that doesn't happen. That we don't appreciate what we're trying to do and accomplish as a part of the work of this congregation of the Lord's people. Just like we need to be aware of the worship and how the worship is to be done rightly, we need to be aware of the teaching and how the teaching is to be done correctly. That set up, the arrangement, and the focus on that, putting the emphasis where it belongs, encouraging us to accomplish that in the right way so that the students can be taught and that with the support for the teachers is made available and the church encourages each other in accomplishing our obligations. Now, that's more than just the teaching program. It involves every aspect of it, and we need to be aware of different things going on. But let me say, we can pray for the work. We can encourage others in the work. We can stand together in doing the work, if nothing more than in a supportive position in order to be aware of what's happening and being there to say good things to those that are doing the activities and the work that's being accomplished. Is that not something that ought to be of interest to us? Do we not have a desire for the work to be done correctly, just like the worship? So I submit to you that think about effective. Not just having, but how do we do it so that it's truly going to be effective and bring glory to God and build us up as it ought to. So like I said, it's a shortened service. More things are going to be said about the Bible classes in a little while after the close of our worship service time. But again, the opportunity is there for people to be the teachers, the parents, the interested parties, people that need to be aware of some things. This is something, we're in it together, brethren. Yeah, and as one last thought, before we sing the song of encouragement, it troubles me, you know, I talked about pet peeves. Here's a pet peeve. From time to time, I guess I'll throw out a pet peeve for you. When I'm talking to a member of the congregation and they say, what are you going to do? And they talk about y'all instead of us and we. It's a mentality that suggests y'all over there as opposed to I'm part of the group and I need to be involved and I need to be aware of and I need to be participating to the degree and extent that I am capable of doing so. We're going to sing the song of encouragement. And if you are subject in any way to the Lord's invitation to be baptized for remission of your sins, you know something, we always will take time to make things right with the Lord. And whatever time it requires on the clock to get all the things we need to do this morning done, if you need to respond, we'll take whatever time is necessary to do that because we want to make heaven our eternal abode. So don't let the fact that we've talked about doing these other things hinder you from doing what you need to do to be right so that you can stand in a sanctified and justified condition. If that requires being baptized for the remission of sins, we invite you to take the opportunity that's presented so that we can immerse you in water and you can be raised to walk in newness of life. If you haven't lived as you should and you need the prayers of the congregation, things to get straightened out and corrected, and acknowledge wrong and sin in your life, we also give you that opportunity. Any way that you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you please come as together we stand and sing.